this is a rare treat because I have the whole cast and I have the writer, and it's 0-1, as they call it, one day till the Fringe starts. And this piece is called
Vivian's Music 1969,
and that is the voice of the writer, Monica Bauer. But we also have the cast here, and your name is
Kayla S. King
and
Russell Jordan.
So now we have all the pieces. Let's put the jigsaw together. So tell me about two things. One is what the piece is about, and also how it got born.
The piece was inspired by the real killing in 1969 of an innocent young 14-year-old black girl by a white policeman. And that killing set off one of the worst race riots in American history in my hometown of Omaha, Nebraska. So this piece is my fictionalization of the life of this young black girl and her desire to meet her real father, Luigi Wells, the jazz drummer who has moved just back to town, who doesn't know that that's his daughter.
Now, of all the creative things you could do, why this?
I have been in love with music my whole life, and my first music teacher was a black man named Luigi Waits in Omaha. I studied drums with him when I was 12 years old, and I've carried his ideals and his voice in my life the whole time. So this is for him, and this is for all the African-American people who I've loved in America.
And just interested in writing, why say a play and not a novel?
This is in front of your face. This is the kind of performance that draws you in and you fall in love with these people. You can't fall in love with a character any better than to see them live on stage. And when you have two amazing actors, as I have in Russell and Kayla, you are in the best hands possible. It's alive and the music is alive and you feel and you go through the journey and you experience the life and then you experience the death and you experience what comes out of it. And nothing is better than that to me.
Now, Kayla, that feels like a character to play that holds a sort of weight of responsibility.
Yeah, there's a lot of responsibility in playing Vivian, especially because she is this real person, or was this real person, and being able to tell the story that she wasn't able to tell is really a gift. It's really beautiful that I'm able to portray such a light, and hopefully I, you know, lighten other people's day by them coming to see her story.
How do you inhabit that?
I try to be 14, you know, like sometimes life, you know, brings you down and you're always going to be bogged down with, you know, everyday situations. But with Vivian, especially with the way Monica's written her, she has such a light and a presence to her that people want to be around her. And being able to portray her definitely has given me a new outlook on, you know, the way I see the world.
And have you had to tap or not tap into the you that was 14?
Definitely. I do see a bit of myself in Vivian as well, and I try to embody that and also give her own separate life and then come together and create this person.
Now tell me about your character. And also, give me a flavor of the rehearsal room.
Oh, so, okay, my character, I play Luigi, and as Monica spoke, I'm the father of Vivian, and I leave. I leave because my mother, she loves me, and she wants me to pursue music, and she wants me to be a professional musician, and she knows that I cannot be successful in that town. So I leave. I'm aware that Vivian exists, but my mom said, this is what's best for you, so I go. And I go ahead, and I come back because mom has passed away. So then in that, I'm dealing with her passing, the things that come from it, but then there's this unresolved issue in the background that we're having to play with. And the interesting thing about the rehearsal process, our director, Glory Cadigan, she told us all the time, she says, just speak to the audience. Just really, really speak to the audience. You know, sometimes when you go to see a show, it's very, the actors on stage are having their conversations one-on-one with each other, and they're not necessarily taking in the audience. But with this particular show, the way it's written, like it's literally two actors, one at a time, monologue after monologue, speaking to the audience about, this is what I'm going through at this time, these are the challenges I'm facing, this is how I feel. And Glory just kept us checking in and say, okay, how do you feel in this moment? You need to make this happen in that moment. And it was just a lot of work. And I think, and I'll laugh or when I probably hear this, hearing myself say this after a while, but she was saying, you know, just be careful of the bigness of New York acting sometimes. Like sometimes we do more presentational things. And she said, really, really, really be very, it's an intimate space, both here in New York when we were at 59 East 59, and then here at Suite Venues. It's a very intimate space, which just lends itself to like, okay, guys, you know, just really, you're here with these 30 people to tell this story and just really drive it home and just talk to the people. And that's been, I would say it's a challenge, but at the same time, it's one of those actory things that you just love, that challenge that you love to take on, because oftentimes you love the fourth wall. And then sometimes to be able to have the opportunity to kick that fourth wall in and really just connect with people and see what's hitting and see what's not hitting. And then that informs how you come back for your next scene. And it's really been a great process.
Monica, where is the line as a writer between the research that you had to do and then the creative imagination that you had to do? How did you manage that threshold?
Well, I was writing about a time period that I lived through. I was the same age as Vivian in 1969 when she was killed. I was there. I was aware. I knew what was going on in the town, and I knew the history of that town, which was a terrible racist history, a terribly segregated, terribly bigoted town. So I knew it in my bones because it's my town. And there was nothing to research about Vivian because the only thing known about her was her name, the date of her birth and her death, and the circumstances under which she died. That's it. I had to give her a life, so I had the freedom to invent a life for her, and I gave her the most beautiful life I could.
And I call this the in-out question. So was the writer in the rehearsal room, or did you get the hell out of there quite early?
Well, this is actually adapted from a larger cast play that's been produced, so it's a very different sort of process. I gave the work to the actors and the director, and every once in a while I'd get a note. How about this? Shall we change that? And I love that. I'm easy in the room. I love working with actors, but mostly they had what they had.
This is a really tough question, so please feel free not to answer it. But for all that you've learned about Vivian, if Vivian came and sat at the back row of the show and saw it and then came up to you, Kayla, what do you think Vivian might say?
I'd hope she'd say thank you for, you know, telling my story, maybe give me a big hug. So I think she would be proud of what we've done for her in giving her this life that newspaper articles and other things didn't give to her. I'm sure her family, you know, was left distraught. And I'm hoping even if her family were to see this, that they would, you know, take it in and love it and appreciate it and just know that our hearts are with them.
A story that had to be told, and perhaps a story that must be seen here at the Fringe. Thank you all for talking to me.